Good morning, Evangel. Welcome this morning. We know that on a long weekend, lots of people are away, but we're glad you're here. We're grateful for those of you that are watching online that we can be together as a faith community. We're going to invite you to stand with us and to join in. Let's praise and worship today. There were walls between us. By the cross you came and broke them down. You broke them down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Feel the darkness. Feel the darkness shaking. All the dead are coming back to life. I'm back to life. Song awaken, all creation singing, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. You called me out of the grave, you called me into the light, you called my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens.
Oh, sing it again, church.
Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
And what a love it is.
And what a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. And what a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. And what a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. And what a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Help us, God, I will follow you. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you.
Light into the world. light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay,
love that song. So it's a prayer of dedication of our lives, amen, to serving him and loving like him. And yeah, it's great to have all of you here this morning. Would you just take a few moments, greet one another before you're seated today. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you. Welcome to Evangel on this first long weekend of summer and the short summer that we get. So it's nice to see that you're here this morning and you're welcoming with us. And we want to welcome all of you who are joining us via our live stream today. We're glad that you're here and welcome to our service. And our prayer today is that God, by the Holy Spirit, would just come and touch our lives and change us, and we would leave today different than we came. And we know that that's possible. So thank you for being here. We're glad that you could join us. For those of you who are here in the building, we just want to say that at the end of the service this morning, there will be ice cream available for you. And as I often say, right, life is short. You eat dessert first. Have dessert and then go home and you can have lunch. But you're all welcome. You're all welcome to join us. Unfortunately, for those of you on the live stream, not sure it can make it to your location without changing the whole consistency of it. So you're going to have to miss out today, but we're glad. Just another reminder, because of July holiday yesterday, the office will not be open for office hours tomorrow in lieu of the Canada Day holiday. So just keep that in mind if you're looking for something from Monica in the office tomorrow. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings. We're going to receive the first offering of July this morning, and the ushers are going to receive it in a moment. But if you would like to give electronically, you can do that easily by sending an e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. While they're collecting, if you have kids that are newborn to age 3, you can take them to the nursery at any time, down these stairs through this door over here, and then to the nursery. And if you have children that are age 4 up to grade 4, they can come over to the side here, meet with volunteers, and head down. Sorry, age 4 to grade 5. You can come over here and head downstairs. God bless you. Going to hand it back to Carlene. Let's just continue to worship the Lord this morning.
You can remain seated for a few moments. We'll invite you to stand in a minute.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song. sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Washing over all our see a generation,
letting me ask God,
rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith.
I see
a new offering that I bring.
Humbly I fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life's nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining love. I live to worship you.
I live to worship you. Worship unto you. an offering of praise. Here's my heart, Lord, make it your throne, make it your own. I need your love, your grace and mercy to flow through me. So I surrender. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Find us willing. Holy Spirit, these are big words. But the desire of my heart and of the heart of so many in this house this morning is that we would love like you and serve like you, that we'd have ears that would hear you, eyes that would see with discernment. And we cannot do that without the touch of your Spirit in our lives. And so, as children who've come and said, all I can give you is me, would you find our surrender, a worship, an offering, a sweet smell in your nose? And Holy Spirit, you know where our shortcomings are. You know how often we fail through the week, and we submit ourselves to your beautiful hand. We submit ourselves to being recovered in the righteousness of Jesus. We submit ourselves to having you awaken in our hearts things we need for this week ahead. Would you change us? Here we are. Would you sing it one more time with us, church? Here I am, worshiping you with all I am, worshiping.
Yes, Lord. Our scripture reading this morning before you're seated is found in Psalm 72, and we're going to read the first five verses. Give your love of justice to the king, O God, and righteousness to the king's son. Help him judge your people in the right way. Let the poor always be treated fairly. May the mountains yield prosperity for all, and may the hills be fruitful. Help him to defend the poor, to rescue the children of the needy, and to crush their oppressors. May they fear you as long as the sun shines, as long as the moon remains in the sky, yes, forever. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Carlene. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. A few weeks ago, I was on a flight, and the plane was small and had two rows of seats on either side. I always choose the aisle seat. I don't like being squished in at the window. I like the aisle seat when I can get it. And there was a retired woman who was sitting in the window seat beside me. And we were basically avoiding conversation, because that's my favorite part of any flight. And we were avoiding conversation until the gourmet snacks arrived. She chose the almonds, but had a difficult time opening the package. I'm not sure who these packages were created for, but it took quite a feat to open them. So she was having some trouble, and after watching her struggle for a while, I asked if she would like me to try and help open them for her. I didn't want to offend her, but You know, since one of my greatest strengths is actually accessing snacks, I thought maybe I could help her. And as I was trying to help her, it opened the door for conversation. And so I asked her if the trip, is this a vacation for you? Or are you visiting family or friends? Are you going home? Is this work? You know, the typical airplane conversation. And she said to me, well, if I tell you, you're going to laugh at me. And I assured her that I wouldn't. And I didn't. And so she began to tell me that she was a quilter. And she was heading to a quilting convention. Quilt Canada 2023. Now, unlike most of you probably, until that moment, I never knew such things existed. A quilting convention, never knew it existed. So I began to explore in greater detail. This was very intriguing to me. I didn't find it funny. I found it very intriguing. And so I began to explore in greater detail. And so she began to share her story with me. At home, she's part of a quilting guild. Again, didn't know that existed. And she often participates in making quilts to present to people in various circumstances. And so she's telling me the stories with great passion and emotion of you know, the times that they had the privilege of presenting these beautiful quilts. And she's showing me pictures on her phone. And she's telling me about moments where they get to put the quilt over the shoulders of residential school survivors and how tears flow down their faces because of the love that's associated with the quilt. Or at times they get to go into a women's shelter where the women and children are there because they've escaped abusive situations in home life, and to present them with quilts. And she talked about helping people who are unhoused and be able to present them with quilts. And so she's just sharing this story. She was filled with so much passion and so much emotion as she talked about the impact that presenting a quilt had on her, but most importantly, on those people who were the recipients of the quilts. Well, I want to tell you, hearing her talk about her passion and talent to help others got me really excited. I was so excited. I think Jen was looking over thinking, like, what's going on over there? You know, like, he's talking to somebody, like that in itself, like something's happening over there. It got me really excited, and I began to tell her. I said, you know what, this is amazing. You're amazing. What you guys are doing is amazing, that you could take your passion and you could take your talent and you could make a difference in this world. I said, that's just so exciting for me. And of course, she was just bubbling up. My excitement was encouraging her. She was really excited about it. And so then she asked me, what's your passion? And without hesitation, and normally I probably would have to think about it, but just kind of where I am these days, I didn't. Without any hesitation, I said, my passion is inspiring people to use their passions, their talents, their interests, their experiences to benefit others. I said, that's my passion. I could do that every day of my life. That's my passion. And so then she asked me what I did for a living. And I told her I was a pastor. It's in those moments you decide whether to tell the truth or to spin it a different way, but I decided just to go for it. So I said, I'm a pastor. And there was a brief pause as she was trying to process that and probably what she might associate with being a pastor and how what my passion was could actually fit within a pastoral role. So she processed that for a while. And then she smiled and said, they must love you. And I said, yeah. A few of them do. Today, we are continuing our summer sermon series entitled Summer in the Psalms, where each week we'll consider the central theme of a psalm. We began last week with Psalm 46, and today we're focusing on Psalm 42. And you'll notice that there's a title in this psalm, and the title is A Psalm of Solomon. A Psalm of Solomon. Most of the Psalms either focus on prayer and thanksgiving in the midst of difficult times, or they're purely expressions of praise. Most of the Psalms fall into one of these two categories. But Psalm 72 is different. It's different. It's a prayer, believed to be written by David for his son Solomon, as he contemplated the future and soon coronation of his son as the king of Israel. And in this psalm, David expresses his desire for his son, his longing for his son, his prayer for his son, that Solomon's reign would not only be prosperous, but also filled with justice, so that the least in Israel would benefit from the prosperity, not just the privileged. And he prayed that Solomon's success would be used to help others. Now, as we explore this psalm, we will be reminded today that God's blessing in our lives comes with the responsibility of caring for the poor and the oppressed. Much like Jesus' statement when he said, "To whom much is given, much is required." Basically, this psalm is saying the exact same thing, just in a different place. Now, as you look at this psalm, you'll notice that there are two major themes that are addressed here. And while they are distinct, they actually work hand in hand. And so the first one is prosperity. Prosperity. God made a promise to David that his throne, the throne of David, the lineage of David, would last forever. That the Messiah, the long-awaited hope of Israel, would come through this line and reign on this throne forever. God made that promise. And so as David was reaching the end of his life, he knew that God intended Solomon to succeed him as king. Solomon would be the next in line. And so David wrote this psalm as a prayer for that soon coronation of his son who would replace him on the throne as part of this promise of God of a throne that would last forever. And the prayer included a request for success. He wanted Solomon's reign to be one of great prosperity. A king's prosperity was a sign of their success, and so he wanted that. But not only does David want the king Solomon to be prosperous, he wants the nation to also prosper, not just for the king and his inner court. He wants the whole nation to benefit from the prosperity of his son's reign and bear fruit as a sign that God is central in their nation. And so David prayed that the time of Solomon's reign would be long, that it would be a long reign. But he also prayed for the space of the reign to be large, that it would reach beyond Israel to the other nations. Now, David didn't live to see his prayers for Solomon answered by God, of course, because Solomon only took the throne after David's death. But we have the benefit, you and I, of reading the record of Solomon's reign. And we know that David's prayer was answered, that Solomon was prosperous. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we see early in the reign of Solomon, we see that God came to Solomon in the night and offered to grant Solomon a desire, a wish that would help him in his reign. Man, wouldn't that be awesome? God just kind of wakes you up in the middle of the night. Okay, like, pick one thing. Pick something. Yeah. Now, that might take some time. God, you know, just let me sleep on it, and I'll get back to you in the morning, right? But no. He came and said to Solomon, I want to grant, what would you want me to grant? If I could grant you anything, if I could give you anything. And Solomon could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for the death of his enemies. He could have asked for wisdom in dealing with 700 wives and 300 concubines. But he didn't ask for any of those things. Instead, he asked for a discerning heart, for wisdom as a whole, so he could care for and lead his people. He said, God, I want a discerning heart. If I could ask for one thing, the one thing I would ask for is a discerning heart, a heart of wisdom, so I can care for and lead the people. And God responded to Solomon, and he said, I'm going to grant you your request for a discerning heart. But because of the integrity of your request, I'm also going to grant you wealth and honor. I'm going to grant you a long life. There's not going to be any equal, Solomon, in your whole lifetime. No one is going to know of anyone greater as a greater ruler or king than you in all of your lifetime. It was an incredible night. And Scripture records that God fulfilled his promise to Solomon. And we read that Solomon owned 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots. He had 12,000 horsemen on his payroll. He had expansive gold reserves. He had a fleet of ships that engaged in commerce and trade that went all around the known area. We read of foreign regents that would come to see him, to visit him, bringing him wealthy gifts as they visited him, seeking to draw benefit from his great wisdom, because he was known as a king with great wisdom. And other kings and queens would come to glean from his wisdom. It's estimated that Solomon's wealth would equate to trillions of dollars in today's economy. Prosperity. David prayed for it. Solomon realized it. Theme one. Theme two is justice. David's prayer was not solely focused on prosperity and power and renown. David's prayer was equally focused on justice for the poor and the oppressed. You see, David knew that even though a reign was deemed successful and prosperous, and that reign could benefit many, there would always be some who would be left out, who would be ignored, who would have been forgotten. And his prayer in Psalm 72 does not begin with a desire of prosperity. He doesn't start with, oh God, make my son prosperous. That's not where he starts. He starts with an acknowledgement that God loves justice. He says, God, you love justice. And he asks that God would give God's love for justice to the king, to David's son Solomon. God, I want to first and foremost, as I start my prayer for my son, first and foremost for my son, this is what I'm asking for, that he would have your love of justice. And then he asked God to help Solomon to lead the people in the right way. Now, there's a lot of opinions on what it is to lead someone in the right way. What was David thinking when he asked that question, that desire of God? He said, I want you to help him lead in the right way so that the poor will be treated fairly and with compassion. In David's heart and in David's mind and in his prayer, the poor being treated fairly and with compassion would be the sign that his son was leading in the right way. The poor were those who lacked wealth. They were those who lacked influence. They were those who lacked any position of power. Those who lacked honor in the culture. Those who were devoid of privilege. Help him lead in the right way. Help them to lead in the right way so they're treated fairly and with compassion. And then he asked that the prosperity of Solomon's reign would be for all. For all. Everyone. No one would be left out, and no one would be left behind. What happened under the reign of Solomon is desire for prosperity. Yes, bless him, God. Give him all kinds of things. But in the end, make sure that it benefits all. All. No one left out. No one left behind. Some might think, that sounds a lot like socialism. Yes, it does, doesn't it? So does the book of Luke and Acts. But anyway, we'll move on. He asked God to help Solomon defend the poor. Not just give them stuff, defend them. Stand up for them. Protect them. He said, rescue their children. The children of the needy. The children of the poor. The orphans. Those who are most vulnerable. He says, protect them. Rescue them. Stand against and crush their oppressors. Don't just protect them, crush those who would oppress them when they're powerless and they have no one to defend them. Why is David so concerned with this? Why is this a priority for him? Why does this matter? We really don't see a lot of this in his reign. Maybe it's just typical, the end of his life, looking and realizing that maybe his reign could have been different. I don't know. But he tells us why he's so concerned with this. He's concerned with this because he says this, I want you, God, to do this. I want my son to be like this because they are precious. They are precious. They have value. They're important. They're human. So please, God. David understood that God's blessing comes with the responsibility of caring for the poor and the oppressed. And he made that a central focus of his prayer for his son, the future king. Yes, God bless him. Make his rule long, make his rule large, make his rule rich, make his rule impacting. But don't let him lose sight of having a heart for the poor and the oppressed and their children. Let your love of justice be in his heart. Now, if I were to share part of my testimony with you this morning, I'm getting to the age, if I had to share all of my testimony, we'd be here till next long weekend. But if I were to share part of my testimony with you this morning, I would say this, that over the past few years, 5-6 years or so, God has been doing a very deep rooted work in my life. And I want you to know, it hasn't been an easy work. It hasn't been an easy work. It hasn't come without significant cost in many ways. But I want you to know this morning, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I'm thrilled. I am thrilled. I just wish we could have gotten to it 20 years ago. But life is like that, isn't it? And it's a work that has resulted in me questioning things. Now, some people get really uncomfortable when we question things. In fact, a lot of young people leave the church because they're not allowed to question things, right? We'd rather stand up here pretending we have all the answers than be comfortable in the questions, right? I mean, let's be truthful. So it's resulted in questioning a lot of things, learning for me that it's okay to question. It's okay to ask the question. It's resulted for me in seeing some things differently than I saw them before. It's resulted in a shifting of my priorities and my focus of my life. It's resulting in the changing of my perspective on some things. Even changing how I live my life day by day. Which I would suggest that anytime God does a deep root at work in your life, it should result in changing how you live your life day by day. Inevitably impacting the focus of my ministry, because we lead out of who we are. We lead out of who we are, and we lead out of what God is doing in our lives. That's, you can't lead outside of who you are and outside of what God is doing in you. So lead out of who we are and what God is orchestrating in our lives. And some of you may have noticed a heightened focus and emphasis on social justice. The poor, the vulnerable, the marginalized. A few weeks ago, I promised Jen I wouldn't say the word marginalized in the pulpit for a long period of time. I went 2 weeks. I did. I went 2 weeks. Jen said, I think they're sick of hearing the word marginalized. So? And so, you may ask me, well, why has that become so important for you? Why is that something that is a priority for you? Well, I'll say this. If you were to hold up your Bible, I know many of you is like mine, it's electronically in front of you, but if you were to hold up an actual paper copy, and I have one of those too that's held together with duct tape and a few other items, you will notice that there are approximately 2,000 texts, 2,000 chunks of scripture, if you will, 2,000 places in our Bible that the subject that's being addressed is the poor, poverty, and social justice. There are 2,000 biblical texts that address the issues of the poor, poverty, and social justice. Now, in comparison, and not to diminish any of these, I'm just saying, you may be interested to know that this is twice as many texts or places or chunks of scripture that address the topic of heaven. Twice as much. The Bible talks about the poor, poverty, and social justice twice as much as it talks about heaven. It talks about the poor and poverty and social justice 7 times more than it talks about hell. 7 times more. And so my question is this. If the Bible addresses the poor and poverty and social justice that much, we must conclude. We have no choice but come to the conclusion that the poor and poverty and social justice matters a lot to God. We must come to that conclusion. And we certainly see it as central in the ministry of Jesus, which is what I hope we pattern our lives and ministries around. If you were to take your paper Bible, and please know I am not suggesting this, please do not go home and tell your family that Pastor said today we need to do this. That is not what I'm saying. But if you were to take an X-Acto knife or a pair of scissors, and you would begin to cut those 2,000 passages out of your Bible, there would be a lot of holes in your Bible. And subsequently, a big hole in our gospel. So while we may not do that literally, and please do not, we certainly have to confess that we've done it metaphorically and practically to some degree, missing a critical part of the message of God, of the heart of God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So for me, it's been a journey for me of being led by the Holy Spirit to go back to basics, to the beginning, and rediscover the heart of God like David prayed for Solomon, to rediscover the heart of God for justice, for those deemed lesser by society. So in case you're wondering, now you know. And don't ask me about the other details because I'm not going to tell you. Those are between me and the Holy Spirit. We're working those through. Now I want you to know, it really excites me as a leader, as a pastor, when the lights come on for other people too. When I see what God is doing in their lives, to see the Holy Spirit leading them in how they can uniquely serve the kingdom as they embrace the heart of God for those in need and are marginalized. When they realize that they can use who they are, their passions and their experiences, to do something important for Jesus, for his kingdom, by doing something for others. Now, I was recently blessed to have some ones from our congregation come to me and share a passion that God had given them in how they and others might be able to use their passions and their interests to serve God by caring for those in need. And so I want to include them in my final application of my sermon this morning. So I would like to invite Helen and Trevor Escott. Would you come join me in your favorite space up here? So I want to make sure you get into the live stream camera because there are millions that are watching from all over the world, and I want to make sure they don't miss this. So let me set the context by saying, as you recall, at the end of May, and it was Pentecost Sunday, I did a sermon about the Holy Spirit's work at the death of Jesus, and I talked about how that God is always working in multiple ways simultaneously, and then there are moments when those two things come together. And then I did two interviews. We interviewed Jono and talked about his journey coming to Canada and a heart to do worship and our desire. We needed someone for worship, and we talked about how God brought those two things together. Then we had Mary McLean come. And Mary, we talked about how that was a desire of our church that we would see seniors who are shut in, visited, and then Mary felt that God was leading her to do something. She came to see me, and all of a sudden these two worlds came together. So that was the context of all of that. So what I want to do today is, you know, one of those interviews impacted you guys. Tell us which one, don't tell us what your idea is yet, but one of those things impacted you. Which one, and why did it impact you? Tell us that. You got to hold the microphone all the way up. It won't go around the world without it.
What impacted me was Mary.
Yeah. Sorry, Jono. Yeah, it was Mary.
You're a great guitar player. But, you know, it really resonated that things had been playing on her mind, the same as with me, that there was something that I could do. And she took the initiative to step out and do it, which I, until this time, hadn't bothered to do.
Right. So that you're sitting there, you're listening to Mary share this, and you're thinking, hey, that's kind of different area, but
yes,
it's what God's been stirring up in me too. So as that happened, so tell me, what is something that is really interest and passion for you?
Go ahead.
Well, it's for both of us. When we moved to Oakville in 2000, we were lucky enough to have a new house, new garden, but like all the houses then, you just had a very small lot. And we were keen on gardening, so we rented a little lot from the town of Oakville, which you can do. And this is where we get a lot of enjoyment, a lot of therapy from gardening.
So you have a community garden spot here in Oakville, right?
On Lions Lane behind Home Depot there.
So you grow a lot of your own stuff every summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So you're hearing Mary talk about this. This is an area of passion and interest and experience for you. So all of a sudden, the lights are starting to come on that maybe you can use this somehow.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that's when the idea came to me from you. So tell us what you were thinking as you heard that.
Well, what I was thinking, there's a little strip of land over there that I thought, well, we could turn that into a little garden. It's a little narrow and not too bright and shiny, but we could probably do something with it and hopefully grow enough vegetables for the congregation. And eventually, if enough, we could involve the community across the road there.
Right.
And really reach out to show people what could be done and invite them to join us in it.
So your idea is to take your passion and your experience of gardening, create a garden here at the church,
yes,
and that the vegetables and produce that's produced from there to be given to those who may be struggling, who may be in need.
Absolutely.
It might be in the congregation, it might be in the community, it might be supporting organizations in the community, whatever.
Absolutely, yeah.
So then you came to see me. You both
we
came.
We did.
Yeah.
So
how was that, by the way?
It was fine, and it was good. So
I hear the pastor can be a real jerk in his office. Is that true?
No, he was all right, but he did have a few points, which were good points. He said, well, why do you want to put it over there? It's pretty barren, and there's not a lot of sun because it's pretty shaded. Why don't you put it out the back of the church? The back of the church, I've never been out there, but I don't know, you know? So yeah. He said, come on. And he said, I'm going to show you. So he took us out the back, opened the doors. We walk out there. The pastors led us to the promised land.
Yeah.
Wide open space,
yeah.
Sunny, beautiful.
The clusters of grapes aren't there yet.
Not yet, yeah, no. Yeah. But it was ideal for what we had in mind.
Right.
And the other thing that he suggested, thought for ease of operation, we would just plant in the ground. But he pointed out that maybe there were a lot of elder congregation that it wasn't so easy. So he suggested that we try and build raised garden beds, you know.
Right.
We could work on them.
Right. So if you can't get down on your hands and knees and weed,
yeah,
you can just stand up at waist height and
absolutely,
do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is, so when you think of this ministry, yes, the end goal is to provide people that are in need with food.
Yes.
But there are other sort of serendipitous benefits along the way.
Absolutely.
When we're doing anything in ministry together. And every ministry that does it realizes that. Like the Kerr Street team that does breakfast, it's more than just serving breakfast. There's a lot of beneficial pieces to that. So when you think about this ministry, how do you see even the other parts of it, the people coming together and the benefit of that for those involved?
Well, maybe you should, some of the ideas that you
I'm not a speaker, okay? So put up with me for a little while. My thing was that we, as a congregation, don't get to know each other well. And we thought that with doing this, we would invite people who are interested to do gardening with us, who have a passion for it or not. We are going to learn together. And trust me, my husband researches everything, so he can give you a lot more advice than I could. And so we would like to make it also as a getting to know each other truly as a community of believers. And also we invite anybody who wants to bring their unbelieving friends or anybody. We would like to do it so that we could possibly once a week or every second week have a little social there with coffee and things and just get to know each other and just spend time together. It is not going to be preaching, okay? Nobody's preaching because I sure don't have any capabilities. And so just getting to know each other and hopefully that will take off. We don't want just old people. We want young ones too, okay? The ones that can bend because I think we're making at least one on the floor.
Yeah.
So God's been really good. We already have a lot of it. My husband is a scavenger, okay? Yeah. And he goes through.
Praise God, amen.
He already collected a lot of wood. He's studying constantly on the computer all the different designs and things. And we actually have already one box and one is half made. So those three things are falling in place. And we also already have all the vegetables, pretty much. We went, and there is a lot of sales on. And
they're
we
clearing
actually,
out right now.
And we're just planting it at home now in the pots, and hopefully by next week, we're going to be planting it outside in our garden. The other thing that we would like to do, and we would like to put the name to the garden, and in honor and memory of my sister-in-law, Edith, who loved this church and loved its people, we would like to call it Edith's Garden.
Yeah. So the ministry will be called Edith's Garden.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. In memory of someone who loved her church and loved to garden.
Yes. Yeah. All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so today at the end of the service, I don't know if you know this yet, but I created a sign-up sheet for you.
Oh, good.
And I left it at the desk because okay. You talked about wanting to see who yeah. might be interested. So at the end of the service today, either before you pick up your ice cream or after or during, you can swing by the table there and you can sign up. Just leave your name, your phone number, and your email and say, I would like to be a part of it. There may be some of you that we would need to be a part of it in the earlier part, even though you may not be interested in being a part of it in the long term, just in terms yeah. of when a truckload of soil comes, there may be some people involved in this ministry that physically could not put the soil into the areas to need you some younger, stronger people to kind of put that there and help set that up. But then once we're going, whoever's they're interested going. In it, just gardening and go yeah. for it. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
nobody wonderful. Has to be committed for a lifetime, okay? So for a week, for a month. Yeah. We are hoping also in fall to have, no fall, fall we're planning. In early spring to start growing all the plants from seeds.
Right.
Yeah.
And we even talked about how maybe our kids' ministry could get involved in that.
Yes.
Helping plant the seeds.
Yes, and that would be
and
great.
Having an area downstairs where they're being what? Started and so yeah. on. So, yeah. So, lots of ideas, lots of dreams.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I know, Trevor, you said to me when you came in that you were so excited you couldn't sleep. You're thinking about all these things. Yeah. And to yeah. be honest with you, I've spent a few nights myself sitting down thinking about this, and I'm thinking, what a great idea. Like, it's phenomenal. So I'm more excited about this than I am quilts. I want you to know that. So, yeah. So why don't you give them a good hand? And if you're interested,
yeah.
thanks, guys. God bless you.
Pastor, if I just might take a few minutes.
Yeah.
You talked about testimony. And if I can get through it, I'd like to give you a little bit of our testimony. What year were you?
2001.
In 2001, Helen was diagnosed with breast cancer, had radiation surgery, and made a remarkable recovery. Still alive, still healthy, still strong. In 2006, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a cancer of the bone marrow. Life expectancy at that time was 1 to 5 years. It attacks your bones. It's a cancer of the bone marrow. It attacks your bones. It attacks your kidneys. And so it's not a good outcome. But I was under the care of an oncologist at Princess Margaret, and he said, well, you don't have any symptoms, so I'm not going to treat you. We're just going to monitor it. And I said, okay. So I think he said, a couple of years, I'm sure we'll be starting something. 7 years later, I'm still there. He says, well, things are starting to go down. We need to start some treatment. So the treatment was a stem cell transplant, which basically they take your stem cells, wash them, reinfuse them, and hopefully, you know, postpone the inevitable, as it were. So I had the stem cell transplant in 2014. So that is, what, 6, 9 years ago now. So that's altogether 17, 18 years. And I think along the way, what, Lord, how come There's so many members of the congregation touched by cancer. I'm just stroking along 17, 18 years. I can't understand it. And he said to me, "Well, don't you know that I have a plan and purpose for your life?" And I said, "Yeah, Lord, that's the thing." He said, "So I've given you all this extra time, but that begs the question, what are you doing with this extra time?" Well, this garden ministry is what we're doing with the extra time. Maybe a little late coming and maybe not that much, but that's what we want to do with that extra time. Thank you, Lord.
I gotta hug you, okay? Thank you. And thank you for sharing that extra, because that's powerful. I'm gonna invite our worship team back. Folks, God's blessing in our lives comes with the responsibility of caring for the poor and the oppressed. God wants to use all of us in terms of all of us, every one of us, but God also wants to use all of us in terms of all that we are. All that we are. Our interests, our hobbies, our training, our experience, even our pain. God wants to use all of it for his kingdom. Central in his kingdom is the priority of addressing poverty and marginalization, and doing that in Jesus' name. Would you stand this morning? And as we do, the worship team is going to lead us, and would you in this moment make this a moment of prayer and reflection for you? Saying, "God, how do you want to use me?" And I know sometimes you may feel like, "Well, I don't really think I have anything to offer," or "I think my days of whatever are over," but you know what? God can still use you. And so our prayer is, Holy Spirit, would you show us? Because it starts with wanting to be used. That's where it starts. And God will use us. Carlene, would you lead us this morning?
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, my feet, touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Let's sing it again.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands,
Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Use us, Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use.
Father, this morning we are so grateful that as we read the Bible from beginning to end, we see that whenever you ask anyone to do anything on your behalf, you empower them with your Spirit to do it. And Lord, we are thankful that as we arrive in the New Testament and we see that the long-awaited day came, as Moses prophesied that the day would come when God's Spirit would rest on all people and the Spirit would fill them all, not just those for unique moments, but all. And we stand here today as people who know you and love you and serve you, filled with the Spirit. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us from the youngest to the oldest to yield ourselves to you and to focus our prayers on you and say, God, what is it in whatever stage of life I am in, whether it's a health, whether it's family, whether it's financial, whatever it is, in the middle of all of this, is there something I can do for you? How can I serve your kingdom? How can I serve you? How can I serve others? So, Father, I pray that you'd help us all on our unique individual journeys. Help us as a church, as we've said in recent days, wanting to be internally strong and externally focused, where we see the community around us, and the community around us is able to be ministered to because of the practical and tangible things that we're doing. Would you help us? Father, I pray for those who are in this room this morning, and there may be some who are here who are brokenhearted, some who are struggling, some whose health is not good, some are trying to make ends meet, some aren't even in this room this morning because they're not well enough to be here. We think of Elfrida today. God, we pray that you would touch each and every person. Would you heal the brokenhearted? Would you heal those who are sick? Would you strengthen those who are weak? Would you encourage those who are discouraged? And God, would you help us to see that we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait till life is a certain way to serve you with all that we are. But Lord, help us to make that decision that we're going to do it today. Help us with that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. There's ice cream. You can hang around. It's going to rain anyway, so, you know, you can't do any gardening at home.